Theories of social change historically focus on how ideas change individuals, rather than how individuals change ideas. More and more, people are coming to acknowledge that the development work that's been done over the last 50 years has not significantly improved the lives of the vast majority of people in third world countries. There are increasing calls for a new way of doing development, one that recognizes the central role that local people need to play in defining their own needs and ensuring that they get met. Many individuals are steadfastly working to institute the social changes that would ensure the participation of local people in deciding what development means. One of these people is Alfonso Gumucio Daigrón. Through film, photography, short stories, poetry, essays, and research, he advocates for a new grassroots-based development model that varies to fit each local context. Alfonso Gumucio Daigrón was born in Bolivia in 1950. He studied film in Paris. He's worked on numerous communication programs in the area of workers' rights, indigenous rights, children's rights, and community organization for NGOs, UN agencies, bilateral organizations, and foundations. He's the author of more than 20 books, including in-depth studies, training manuals, essays, short stories, and collections of poetry. Alfonso has directed several documentary films and exhibited various photography shows. He currently lives in Brazil and serves as the managing director of the Communication for Social Change Consortium. The consortium works with donor agencies to make communication approaches more effective in communities where development work has been unsuccessful and with communication trainers and practitioners. So you started out studying literature and then film and photography. So I'm wondering what thoughts were guiding you through those transitions and mediums and your whole period of studies in Bolivia, Spain, and France. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
That's a long story that goes back 40, 30 something years ago. No, I actually started studying medicine. You don't know that, but I studied 2 years of medicine. I wanted to be a medical doctor, but not for the body, but for the soul. I wanted to be a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but I didn't really know what was that. So in the end, I was already writing since I was very young, so the closest to that was to study literature in the university. I took a couple of courses. I never ended anything. And then film was something that grabbed my attention, so I started taking some short courses in Bolivia of film criticism, and I started writing film criticism. And I did it during a couple of years, and then I decided that, I couldn't study film in Bolivia, and the school in Los Baños in Cuba didn't exist yet. It was created in 1985, I think. So basically, I decided to go to Europe. And the only country I could go at that time was Spain, because I didn't speak... I spoke English already, but somehow Spain was the natural thing for a Latin American to go first. And of course, it was the Spain of Franco, and not very interesting, and the university was really... not one good Spanish filmmaker was teaching at the university. So I spent a year there without doing much, and finally decided to go to France, although I didn't speak any French. And in France I was very lucky, because I could study in the best places you could find there. One was the Institut de Haute Etudes Cinématographiques, which was the main leading school in France and basically in Europe of film, where the emphasis was more into production and materials of filmmaking, and the technical part of filmmaking. And then I studied also at the University of Vincennes, which was the university that was created after May 68 to put all the rebels from the universities and that place. It was outside of Paris, both Nanterre, University of Nanterre, and University of Vincennes. And I was very lucky, because the film department at the University of Vincennes, the whole team of two leading magazines of the moment, Cahiers du Cinéma and Cinétique, were teaching there. So for me that was incredible. I was exposed with the most advanced thinking in terms of film and film criticism in the world, if I might say. So that was good, because we were not doing much film in Vincennes, but we were really questioning ourselves, what is cinema, what is the purpose, social purpose of cinema, and that helped a lot to start a career in film. But at some point when I ended that, I had and I did my my film, you know, as you do at thesis, you do a film when you end the film school. And I did a film on the military in the Bolivian politics, a film that is called Señores Generales, Señores Coroneles, which the title comes from a poem, a Bolivian poet that says that Mr. General, Mr. Colonel, you live in honey, it says the poem. I mean, you live very well and you don't care about what the country is living about. So that was a long documentary film, 75 minutes. And it was done really with photographs and whatever I could find. I couldn't buy any material from a stock film and archival film. So I just did it with what I had in my hands. And it was shown in Bolivia without my name because it was still the time of the dictatorship. And at some point I decided to come back. I had two choices, as I said. I could stay in France and have a normal career in France as a filmmaker, begin as an assistant and then go up little by little, or just do my own things in my country. So when I came back to Bolivia, of course there was no film industry. The only job they offered me was to work in SIPCA, which was the Center of Research for Peasantry. And they were doing a lot of interesting things with communities, rural communities. And I said to them, why don't we do some films in Super 8? And so we bought a small Super 8 camera and we started doing films, documentary films in Super 8. We did radio programs. We did a slide series on technical issues. And I spent there from 78 to 1980. And that's when the military coup came and I had to go into exile. So that's maybe answers the first part.
Great, thank you. I'm wondering, in terms of your current work, you still work in several different mediums, in film, in photography, and in the printed word, in poetry, fiction, and nonfiction. Can you tell me about the interaction of those mediums in your life?
I think I always thought there's one word that unites all the other activities that you have mentioned, and it's image. When I started as a poet, so image is essential for poetry, and I think my short stories are very poetic in some sense also, and of course photography is image and film is image. So I think I don't feel like I'm switching from things that are very different, the one from the other. So I always feel I'm working in the same kind of expression. And I think in Latin America it's not something that is confined to me. I think many of the people that are in arts or expression or film do many things, because we don't have the means to concentrate just in one. No? I can see our leading filmmaker, Jorge Sanginés in Bolivia, that he spends 7 years to get funding to do one film every 7 years, and he has a great talent, no? And I said, I am not going to do long feature films because I don't intend to spend, 6 years looking for money or anything like that. So I prefer to do smaller things that can have an impact immediately on the projects or on the people I'm working with, and also get out the things that I have inside in terms of poetry, photography. That was my choice.
Initially, your work focused quite heavily on the rural sector, especially the miners' organizations in Bolivia. And later you broadened out into communication for health campaigns, children's rights, and the environment. What are some of the key events that led you from theme to theme?
Well, I think, as I was saying, when I got back to Bolivia in 1978, they offered me this work at an NGO that was working with peasants. So I started working with peasants. At some point, after the exile, now I have to, I went out in exile. I went to Nicaragua in 1980. And in Nicaragua, I started working with the Central Sandinista de Trabajadores, which is a workers' union. And so I had a new dimension. I had already been advisor of the Central Obrera Boliviana in Bolivia. We were planning to have training courses of photography and film for the workers, and we never got to do them because the military coup came. So I did this in Nicaragua, in fact. during the year I spent there, I worked with the Central Sandinista. We did small films with young people that had no idea about doing films, but I trained them during 3-4 months. Then we produced some films. It was a very interesting experience. So when I came back after living also 3 or 4 years in Mexico until 1985 or 1986, when I came back from exile to Bolivia, then I started working more with the mines. Why? Because I created my own NGO. I said, there's no NGO that really focuses on communication for social change, communication for development. So we must create one. So we created this NGO, which was CIMCA, the Center of Integration of Alternative Media. And then we continued working with rural communities, peasants, but also with miners and other groups. And I think that led to work with different topics, human rights, union rights, women, many things came into the picture. But at the same time, I had to finance this project because we didn't have much support. So I started doing international consultancy work with the UN agencies. So I would go like 1 month and work in Africa, work in Asia, and then come back and put that money into my NGO. And that was another interesting experience, and that is the experience that opened me to other topics like health and child rights and the other things, the environment. Well, actually, environment, it was something I really liked in Bolivia, and so I had been writing already on environmental issues, and at some point I worked with as an advisor to Conservation International in Bolivia. I did for them a communication strategy for Bolivia. And I did something in Costa Rica also and something in Papua New Guinea for them. So, yeah, those things, you know, when you start working in communication, you touch many different topics. And all of those topics that deal with development somehow have also a very intimate relationship.
This is my opinion. In both your short stories and your essays, you often point out the struggle and the pain caused by frictions and inconsistencies between traditional and modern values and worldviews. Would you say that that's accurate? And if so, can you talk about why this idea comes up in your work?
I think this is accurate, and I think it comes from my own life and training. You know? I'm from a country that is at least 60% indigenous population, Aymara and Quechua, but I'm a white person from a Spanish ascent, if you want, although it's very old. So what's my role in that society? What can I do for that society? I know it's one country, but a country that several cultures share. And in that way, I try to reflect on what's my role there, and that's what I think it shows in some of my short stories. I don't know which are you referring to, but I think these contradictions and the importance of culture and the pain of having this country somehow divided by the lack of dialogue many times between cultures have guided me to write these things. It's not in a conscient way, you know. The readers, as yourself, might find things that I haven't thought about. Because when you write, you're just obeying some kind of impulse. It's different when you write an essay that you say, okay, I'm going to write about communication, I'm going to write about health, whatever. A short story normally is like a poem that comes from something that you saw or something that popped in your mind, and then you kind of make it grow into a short story. It's even different from a novel, because a novel you plan it. You say, okay, in this novel I would like to show the period of the dictatorship during 5 years or whatever, so I'm going to introduce a character that represents this, another character that represents that. But in a short story, it kind of flows in another way. So it's very difficult to take distance and say, this is what I intended to say, but I'm glad it somehow transmits something.
One of the things that we learn in my program of study, Rural Extension Studies, we talk quite a bit about different development theories and the goals of development and what's the best way to accomplish those goals. Do you see yourself as part of any specific school of thought within the development debate?
Well, I definitely identify with participatory development. I think there cannot be any real development if people don't make the choices and the decisions. I think I am very, very critical, because during I don't know, 50 years, we've been talking, I mean, not we, but everyone, the big development organizations have been talking about big development projects, and now when you see them, there's nothing left. Things are not getting better. People are poorer than 30 or 40 years ago. The issue of rights, women's rights, child rights, all that is not getting better. So something is wrong in development. And I think that what is wrong is that people are not participating in their own future, in their own in the decisions that are taken over their future. And I'm definitely in favor of another type of approach to development that really tries to involve communities, not individuals alone, but communities. And the only way to do it is through another type of communication, which hasn't been really used by any of these big development organizations. And now I see that there's a language in these big organizations that now in the few past years say that development has to integrate the population, has to have some kind of consultation process with them. Participatory development is good, they say, but in the practice, when you go and see the kind of development they promote, is not really participatory development. So who can do that? I think the NGOs, communities themselves, other types of organizations that are really working at the bottom level, at the grassroots level with communities, can do that.